Hi, welcome back. Just here for this week? For this week? So we'll see. Lord's leading, right? All right. I haven't seen you in a long time. It's good to see you. We've been in a long series on overcoming, and we're going to continue that. And last time that I was addressing that series, we were looking at this passage from Ephesians. This is from a prayer that Paul gave. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know, and this is one of the things, this is an excerpt, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And as I thought about that and meditated on that, we talked about his power to transform our mind and our spirit. We talked about that. That was part of the sermon series. And then we talked about Thanksgiving, which was separate because it was Thanksgiving, and also that's what the Lord gave me for last week. But as I had thought about what is his incomparably great power for us who believe, it occurred to me that he has the power to transform our mind and spirit, and he has the power to fill you with his spirit and move with power through you in ministry to others. And that's what today's message is about. And he has the power to raise us from the dead and bring us home. And so I want to talk about this idea that our Lord, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus died and went in the grave and was brought back up out of the grave, complete and whole, and was given authority over all of God's creation. God the Father stepped back from his place of authority and gave to Jesus as a reward for his obedience all of his own authority. So now Jesus has authority over everything. And Jesus had requested that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to strengthen his church, to lead the church, to teach the church, and empower the people to be able to minister in power to other people and to minister the gospel all over the world and to support his church spreading the gospel throughout the world, which Samuel is doing and many other people are doing all around the world. So, and part of that, what Jesus talked about when he was first moving around in Israel, and what John the Baptist talked about, was that the coming Messiah would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. And so from the very beginning, the movement of Jesus, the movement of John, or the expectation that the Savior would come was always associated with the fact that he was going to bring the Holy Spirit for the power, the empowerment of his believers. And so from the very beginning, when Jesus was baptized by John, he was talking about this. John said, someone's coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So from the very beginning with John the Baptist, we have been hearing about this Holy Spirit. Well, this incomparably great power for us who believe comes through the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who, when you believe, comes into your heart and mingles his spirit with your spirit so that you are interlocked with each other, so that you can have power from on high to minister to other people in Jesus in the name of Jesus and bring power. He will bring power into that ministry. He's the one who's able to sanctify you and bless you to walk more closely with Jesus. So let's look at some of the things that Scripture says about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's this passage from later in Ephesians. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So central to this whole thing is being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, I can walk along and sort of ignore what God's doing in me and not pay attention to that and just sort of walk along in my own strength, even though I'm a believer. Sometimes I still do that. But what the Lord is calling us to do is to have our hearts and minds open toward the Lord Jesus Christ, toward his Holy Spirit, and be filled with the presence of God so that I don't have to walk in my human strength, in powerlessness, but I can walk by the power of the Holy Spirit and be supernaturally enabled to live a holy and righteous life, and also supernaturally enabled to minister to other people through the power of the Holy Spirit. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, a very, very good thing. So in this passage, this is interesting here, and I want you all to take encouragement because we're going to look at a bunch of things where Holy Spirit moves and miraculous things happen. But I want you to just observe here, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. The Holy Spirit is for all believers. But look at what happens here. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the most obvious fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you're filled with praise and encouragement for other people. So it doesn't have to look like miracles happen, people being healed because you've laid your hands on them. This is evidence when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, grace and beauty are flowing out of you because the Holy Spirit is moving within you, has his place within you. And these things, they well up within you. You don't have to gin them up. You don't have to make them up. You don't have to, you know, conduct yourself in these manners through your own effort. It's just when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, these things naturally flow out of you. So remember what Jesus talked about. He's the vine and we're the branches. And when we abide in the vine, we bear much fruit. Well, the job of the vine, the job of the branch is to abide in the vine, which means the job of the branch is to pay attention to the vine from which the sap flows, from which the strength and the nourishment flows. And out on the other end of the branch is where the grapes are growing. So when the branch is doing what it's supposed to, all it's thinking about is getting nourishment from its source. It's not thinking about squeezing out grapes. Like, if I could just make another grape pop out like that. It's all about having our attention toward Jesus Christ and openness to being nourished and strengthened by him and taking time and dwelling in things like his word, his prayer, prayer to him and fellowship, spending time with him in prayer and fellowship with other believers and taking in that nourishment from his word so that we're nourished. And then the fruit will flourish out on the end of the branch. The fruit will flourish on your life as a byproduct, a consequence simply of the fact that you belong to Jesus and he's the central fact of your life and you're acting like that's true by going after him and seeking him. So your fruit in your life is not meant to be the product of some laborious effort and your own exertion. The fruit in your life is meant to be like fruit growing on a tree that happens because it's getting nourished and its attention is toward the sap and the life that comes up from the life-giving vine. And this is what it looks like when that happens. We do have encouragement for each other. Scriptures will come to mind. We'll have praise to God and all kinds of things like that. But that's just one thing, the Holy Spirit. There's a ton more. Holy Spirit wants to do all kinds of things, cool things. So here's just some examples. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit first fell upon believers, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and as the Spirit enabled them. They went out in the street. Peter spoke to the people. Other people in the group who'd been filled with the Holy Spirit were speaking to the people that were there, and miracles were occurring. People were hearing in their own languages these words that were being spoken, even though they were being spoken in Hebrew or Greek or whatever their language was, Aramaic. And people were hearing, people from all over the Mediterranean region were hearing in their own language these words. So there's this miracle occurring that allowed people to hear supernaturally this message of the gospel, and 3,000 people were saved that day. The first day that the Holy Spirit moved. Boom. All of this stuff. Outpouring, amazing power in ministry. So a couple chapters later, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's been nabbed by the Pharisees and brought into the Sanhedrin, and he's kind of on trial here. He's making defense because they had been out, and a man was healed through the power of God. And so this is his defense. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Now, this guy's a fisherman, first of all, and he's talking to the Sanhedrin, and he's owning them. Or I would say the Lord is just owning him in this place because he's filled with the Holy Spirit and full of boldness to talk to these people as more than equals with them. More than, because he is speaking in the power and the authority of the Lord God through the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And that came to pass because he'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit and been involved in healing this guy. So the Holy Spirit's alive and well and active in this early church, the first couple of years of the church, people being healed, and people are speaking boldly to authorities who are trying to tamp down the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, is speaking directly to them, saying, you crucified this man, but it's in his name that this guy over here is actually healed and was lame and now stands before you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. And that takes boldness. That takes supernatural boldness. He could easily have been executed this day. We didn't know it was. You don't know in this moment what's going to happen. They kill another guy later for something similar. But yeah, so the power of the Holy Spirit, able to give you power when you need the Holy Spirit to give you power. He's able to give you power in the moment when it's needed. All right, so still a little bit later. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, Philip, who was one of the apostles, had gone up there and had been sharing the gospel and also healing all kinds of people. When the apostles heard about this, that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So, remember, Peter had been given the keys of the kingdom. Ordinarily, what we see now is that when people believe, they receive the Holy Spirit into their spirit, because that's a movement of the Holy Spirit that even allows them to become saved. The ministers the word of the gospel into their hearts and allows them and brings them to life in Jesus Christ. But in that day, Peter had been given the keys of the kingdom. And why was that? Because when Philip went up to Samaria to preach the gospel, God was going to make sure that these people who had been sort of outside the whole circle of salvation, which had really been a Jerusalem thing, the Samaritans, who had also been a rejected people by people in Jerusalem, he was going to make sure that the Samaritans were brought into the same church and shown the same regard and knitted into the community of all believers. And so he gave one person the authority to crack open this whole thing, this ministry of the Holy Spirit and the availability of the Holy Spirit. He gave one person, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. Peter cracked it open in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. He was the one out in the street preaching. And then when he goes up to Samaria, he's talking to the Samaritans, it's him and John, but him, he's the one who goes up and ministers, and people receive the Holy Spirit at his hands. And later on, it's with the Gentiles to knit them into the same community of believers, with Cornelius, the Roman or Greek guy that went down, and he was the first Gentile, and his whole household, they believed, and Peter was the one there ministering to them, and he was the one there who, when he was speaking to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them, and they all began speaking in tongues, and their whole household was saved. So there was a reason why Peter, why one person was given these keys. It was so that all of the places and all of these expansion ministries of the Holy Spirit and salvation, all these moves of the gospel into different communities, really, really different, culturally different communities that were at odds with each other, one person was there to make sure there's continuity through all this. This is all part of the same thing that God's doing. We're all one people. So Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And today, so you know, and so you're prepared, and you can begin thinking about this. Today, after the service, we're going to have a period where we're going to lay hands on anybody who wants to receive anything from the Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, receive healing. This is a day, and we're prepared for it here. We have anointing oil to use. We're going to pray for anyone who wants to receive something from the Holy Spirit, anything. Today is the day to ask and come and minister. And nobody has to stick around for that. If you don't want to stay, you can go. You're welcome to go. If you're curious, but you don't think it's for you, you can come up and just watch and see how it's done. It's going to be gentle. It's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be nutty. But if you need something, come. If you need the Holy Spirit, if you need power in your life for anything, come. Because this is the day, and we've been praying for this. We've been praying for greater power to be at work in this church, for the movement of the Holy Spirit, for there to be miracles, and for there to be outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So today is the day. Come. Well, of course, it's always the day. But today, especially, come. All right, some more examples. Oops, I went backwards. Now we go forwards. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from the region. So this is during the missionary journeys. Paul's out there with this guy Barnabas. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So Paul and Barnabas are ministering up in what we call a part of the world that's called Turkey now. And there was these different cities up there, Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And they were going out ministering, and they didn't get the greatest welcome in one of these towns, so they shook the dust off of their feet from that place and went on to another. And the disciples there, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Why fill people with the Holy Spirit? Like I was saying before. So the joy can flow out of us in thanksgiving and glory to God, and so that we'll be empowered in ministry to others. And so that we sanctified and we'll be able to walk with holiness before God. If we've come to God and we remember that he's called us out of a former way of life in which we didn't really have control over how we sinned and things like that, we couldn't stop, and we were far from God, and maybe we even had our fist in his face and we didn't want to live like he wanted us to live, and we didn't want anything to do with him. That's why I was before I was a believer. But if he has turned our hearts toward him, it's so that he can begin to build holiness and righteousness into us, which we would all agree when we receive those things, that those are very good things to receive. But he doesn't want to just simply sort of remodel us into people who are now righteous and do good things. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Why? Part of it is he loves us, and he wants to have that level of nearness with us. He loves you, and he wants to have that level of nearness with you. And he wants you to be able to participate in the things that he's got in mind, like this person over here needs this ministry. And you of all people are the person who God has equipped and put in that place in order to be able to minister specially to that need in a way that nobody else on the planet has been positioned or created to minister. So when God gives you a gift of an opportunity to minister, it's because you specifically are there and perfectly suited to the thing that he wants to do for that person. So he loves you. He loves how intricately crafted you are. He has no regret about any of the time that he put into creating you and all of your loves and the details of the different things that you like within you. Those are all part of his craftsmanship. He loves those things. You're a work of art, an exquisite, amazing work of art to him. And he loves that you're a living work of art that he can also have a participating relationship with that's two-way. He loves those things. He loves those aspects. And those things are lost and unavailable for people who are far from God. But for us that he has brought alive, they're available to us through the Holy Spirit. So why be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, all of those different things are enlivened and empowered to be brought into service to God, and you will love the result. You will love the result. All right, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So going back to this, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I bringing this back into focus? Because I want you to understand that God isn't necessarily... He's not demanding that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit that you must be also doing miracles and laying on your hands and spectacular things happening out of you. He's completely content with you being filled with praise and with joy. He's delighted with that. You know, you may grow beyond that at some point, but the Holy Spirit is for everyone, and he's not demanding that everybody become Superman or a superhero in the Spirit. What he wants to do is just make your life beautiful and enriched through his presence. Just beautiful. Make it beautiful and enriched through your Holy Spirit. So if you feel hungry or dry or a little desolate in those parts of your heart that you feel like, I ought to have more praise for God. I ought to have more praise for this God who saved me. I'm thankful for him, but I just don't feel, I feel a little dry inside. The Holy Spirit is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. And it's an excellent thing if this is what you get from being filled with the Holy Spirit. So come and be filled. We'll pray for you. We'll minister to you. So if there's dryness in your heart, the Holy Spirit has an answer to that. He can minister to those dry places in your heart so that you're filled there, so that you're filled. Like, think about what a dry well is like. You know, you go over the thing hoping to find some water, and, you know, you lower the bucket down, and it just clunks on the bottom, and you bring it back up, and it's empty, right? That's a dry well. If your spirit within you, if your soul within you feels like a dry well, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have water, have living water from our Lord filling you on the inside. All right, so one of the things I've talked about, and I've emphasized this, probably this might even be the third time this year, maybe the fourth time ever, talking about this, but this is a really, I call this sort of the path of his presence, path of his presence. And this is, I've talked about this before, that if we lack strength, it's probably because we lack joy, and if we lack joy, we lack a sense of his presence. And so at the very center of all this is the presence of God. We're meant to, like Adam and Eve in the garden, experience the presence of God. Well, that was broken when they fell, and now we, humanity by and large, walks without the presence of God. We're guessing what we should do morally in life, guessing where we should go in our lives, guessing about what's the next thing in front of us, worrying about stuff, even though God is quietly proclaiming his promises that he will provide for us and all of these different things. But we're meant to walk in the presence of God. Our souls are hungry for something because they're meant to be filled with God. You have a God-shaped vacuum in your heart that only God can fill, and he wants to fill it through the Holy Spirit. So let me review this again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. So think about the king's palace in Jerusalem 1,000 years B.C., when out in the city, the streets, the animals are going by, and it's just hot, and people are pushing and shoving, and you're lugging your wares into the market and taking your unsold goods out of the market at the end of the day, and it's just hot, and it's trouble, and it's work. But meanwhile, you're walking right by the gates of the palace. Well, if you could step inside the gates of the palace and be inside the gates, well, things are going to be different in there. It's just not going to be as, it's not going to be as noisy. It's not going to be as crowded. It's kind of the same way. You come out of the hot press of the city and all of the work of normal life, ordinary life with its difficulties and challenges. Through thanksgiving, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. So if you cultivate thanksgiving, you will find yourself, after some time of giving thanks to the Lord, you'll find that things are just more peaceful and the cares of the world are sort of slipping off you as you have this focus on the things that God has done. How does this relate to the Holy Spirit? I'll get to that in a minute. And his courtyards with praise. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Well, the king in the king's palace is usually not down by the gates. He's usually not down by the entrance. In the first place you walk in when you get through the gates, you're probably in, you know, some sort of a plaza area, an open area, where stuff that comes through the gate sort of gets directed where it's supposed to go, and people meet, and guards change, and all kinds of things like that. It's his place, and it's more peaceful there, but the king is up in his courtyards, where he meets with people, and he spends time with people, and makes decisions, and provides guidance, and sends people out, and brings people in. And he's there, and if you get to go into his courts, now you're where he is. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. But you can't give thanks for very long without starting to go over into praise. It's just impossible to thank God consistently over and over again without eventually it just slips out. And God, you're so good. You're so gracious. You've done all these incredible things. And now you're praising him. You started with thanksgiving, and you just slipped before you even knew it. You slipped right into praise. And now that's what's bringing you into his courtyards, where you'll have opportunity to experience the king and his presence. You'll come into the presence of the king because you've gone deeper into his special place. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, that one says. This other verse says, you'll make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Well, where is his presence? His presence is in the courtyards. We're going to enter his courtyards with praise. And now you found yourself in the presence of God. You find yourself in the presence of God. And what does it say about that? In his presence is fullness of joy. So at the center of all this, the thanksgiving and the praise is to get us into the presence of God. And then what happens there? We get filled with joy. And then Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're short of strength, it's because you don't have joy. Your strength will never be higher than your joy. Your strength can only be equal to the level of joy you have. So if you're short on joy, your strength's going to be low. If you're full of joy, like Peter was when he was talking to the Sanhedrin and just bringing it to him, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with joy. He's filled with the presence of God. So his joy was high. His strength was high. If your strength is low, here's a path to being filled. This is a path to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's not just for special times when your life is like going before the Sanhedrin and things are difficult. This is for all the time. We're meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. And so this is what you do when you just realize sort of suddenly, I'm not really in a thankful mode right now. And so you just cultivate thankfulness again and go back and come back into the presence of God and be filled with his joy and be filled with his strength. And that's, for us, that's being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're meant for this. We were built by God. The way our spirits are constructed within us, the way our minds are, the way we are in the totality of our humanity, we were made for this thing to be going on within us at all times. So we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to fill us, bring us joy, and give us power, also give us power to minister in different ways. So here's this guy, Timothy. Hung out with Paul and the boys during the early time of the church. Timothy was pretty special to Paul. Paul writes Timothy a couple of these different letters, and he has these personal notes within these letters. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So that's the first one, and I need some water. So Timothy had received a gift which had been given to him through prophecy when the body of elders at his church, wherever they were, laid their hands on him. A gift. He'd been given a gift. And then later on, Paul writes this other book, a letter to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So I think these might be referring to the same thing. Not certain. It's not clear. But Timothy had been given spiritual gift through the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. Just like when other people received the Holy Spirit, it was through laying on of hands. And then later, Paul encourages Timothy not to neglect that. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Like Peter had power. He had love for the guy that was lame, prayed over him, delivered healing to that guy, and he had power when the Sanhedrin brought him in and he had to give an account for what had happened. He had power that they couldn't even understand how this guy, who was a common fisherman, could have such power. And yet, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was able to speak to them with such boldness and such truthfulness. So there's this idea that people can receive gifts, spiritual gifts, through the laying on of hands. And we're here to do that today. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, or you feel like it needs to be reinvigorated, or you want more in the way of gifting, or more capacity from God to move in that gift, or just more, it's available. Today is the day. Come. We'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. It won't be weird. It'll be gentle. It'll be beautiful. And it'll be customized to you. Well, I mean, because we're kind of a charismatic church here and stuff, but we don't have a reputation for jumping over the chairs and things getting super crazy in here and stuff, because we understand that people come from a variety of different backgrounds. We don't want to deny the Holy Spirit the opportunity to come here and do what he wants to do. He's welcome to do what he wants to do, but we will do things decently and in order, in honor of our Lord, so that nobody who comes in who's far from these things needs to be freaked out and runs, and then they run away and they don't ever want to come here again. So we're going to honor the Lord and his gospel and be bold about preaching his gospel, and we're going to be honoring to the Holy Spirit and to all of you for whom the Holy Spirit came, and you have a right to be able to receive blessings of the Holy Spirit. When you come to church, that should be available. But it shouldn't be weird and freak people out so they run away and never come back, because and make them run away from the gospel, which is the thing that they need to hear. So it won't be weird. It'll be beautiful. It'll be individual. It'll be for you and without regret. Because what the Lord gives, he gives without regrets. All right, so about spiritual gifts. There's a long passage in 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul talks a lot about different kinds of spiritual gifts. So this is just an example. It's a long passage. I'll just briefly go through this and a little bit of teaching on spiritual gifts so you have some context and maybe have a little encouragement about spiritual gifts, because we're fine. We're open to pray for you to receive spiritual gifts this week and to be able to move in those like you never have before. So Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, distributes them. So the Holy Spirit distributes gifts. In Timothy's case, those gifts were received through the laying on of hands. So there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. So we call this like the word of wisdom. Also, you'll see a whole list of different kinds of spiritual gifts, different passages about it and stuff. So I'm going to have some summary slides, so I'm not going to delve into these in great detail. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. So all of these different spiritual gifts, and there are more. It actually turns out there's probably about 20. We're not certain of the number. But a spiritual gift is, you can think of it as a superpower that he's given you through the Holy Spirit. A superpower that he's given you. So I have this gift. I don't make any secret of it. I don't own it myself. I have a gift of teaching. People seem to be able to take fruit and fuel from what I teach. And he's given me insight to the scripture to be able to bring this. And when I come up here, that's not my gift. It's a gift of the Spirit to be able to do that. But he uses that through me. I'm glad he uses it through me. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad about that. I don't take any pride in it, because any time that gift is effective, it's because the Holy Spirit is getting a chance to use me. That's all. That's all. The Holy Spirit is getting a chance to use me. It's not to my credit. It's not a badge of honor to me that I have any particular spiritual gift. But spiritual gifts, like, I like this spiritual gift of teaching. I like to be able to teach. I like that he empowers me able to teach. I like seeing the fruit of teaching, of my teaching that comes out of my mouth, but it really is coming from the Holy Spirit. If I'm doing it right, you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. You're not just hearing from Keith. All you're getting is my vocals. That's what you're getting. But you're getting his power and his word if I'm doing it right. And so I'm glad about the gift. And when you receive and move in a spiritual gift that you've received, you'll be glad about it. You'll be glad about it. And it won't be weird. It'll be something where in your preparation for or in your use of that, or while you're just flowing in the Holy Spirit because you're filled with the Holy Spirit and that gift is operating, it's kind of operating like the grapes and the fruit growing on the vine. A lot of the spiritual gifts, they just operate like the grapes growing on the vine. And who gets to eat the grape? Does the vine eat the grapes? Other people get to eat the grapes. So the grapes aren't for me. Like the teaching here, it's not meant for a blessing for me. It's meant for a blessing for you. I actually seek out and I find teaching from other places that nourishes me. This nourishes me too, but I also need nourishment from other places. One of the things that God has done to knit the body together is he's made it so that we need each other. And what that means is that God's not going to give me or you or anyone all of the pieces for your spiritual life, for your life, just through his word, or just through the words you hear at church, the sermons that you hear. He's going to bring parts of the things that you need for your life. He's going to bring pieces you need for your life from other people through their spiritual gifts. And you're going to provide pieces that they need for their life through your spiritual gift. And so we need each other. And that's why the Holy Spirit, and that's why spiritual gifts and all of these different things, so that we're knit together as one body, all giving glory to Jesus Christ, from whom all of these things come. All right, so here's just some real brief stuff. So in the scriptures, there are multiple lists and indications of what various spiritual gifts are. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, we were kind of looking at that. That passage a second ago lists all of these different gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, also apostleship is identified as a gift, teaching, helps, administration. 1 Peter mentions hospitality. Sort of broadly, he mentions one which is called speaking, and that might be all of the spiritual gifts that involve somebody speaking. Serving, which might be the same as helps. In Ephesians 4, different ministries are specified. Now, these are ministries, so the ministry of apostleship or the office of apostleship, so somebody who is acting as an apostle, which is a messenger from, basically a messenger of the kingdom of God. Prophets, who bring utterance from God to say specific things to individuals or to the church. Evangelists, pastors, teachers. And three of these, it's important to recognize these are offices, these are people who do a certain thing, but three of these are associated with certain spiritual gifts. So prophets, there's a gift of prophecy. Apostles, there's a gift of apostleship. Teachers, there's a gift of teaching. So there's probably a gift of evangelism associated with evangelists, and a gift to be a pastor or have a pastor's heart, a spiritual gift for that. So the case can be made. Romans also mentions prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. And also in Acts, some people who were prophets came up and ministered, and they were encouraging. They were an encouragement to the people that they ministered to through prophecy. So when you add all these up, it looks like there's about 20 different gifts, which I've just mentioned the names of all those. So this is somewhat about, you can teach quite a lot about spiritual gifts, but it looks like the Holy Spirit's got a big repertoire of things that he's capable of doing through his people. If each one of these different things can be a spiritual gift, it means that some of you are going to have various ones of these gifts in this room. And we need all of these different gifts. And across Elko and Spring Creek, where his whole church is, all of the body of Christ here, these gifts are distributed among people, whether they know they have them, whether they've developed these spiritual gifts and the use of them, whether they know it or not. God is in the business of giving people power through his Holy Spirit through spiritual gifts. And I've heard someone say, I think it's a wise thing, the gifts are free, but maturity is costly. We can grow into our use of the gifts. You get the gift, probably not that great at using it. There's probably things to learn. Jesus had the disciples with him for 3 years as he went around and ministered, and they messed it up sometimes, and he would correct them. They would ask, like, why couldn't we do this? And he's like, because of this. He wasn't angry with them. He just knew that he could give gifts, but maturity takes time to develop. Maturity is costly. So understand that God's interested in giving you gifts so that you're empowered, but you'll also have an adventure learning about things. I still stumble and fall in my use of spiritual gifts. Everybody stumbles and falls in their use of their spiritual gifts. We all have tons of room to grow in this area of spiritual gifts. But we're meant to have them, and we're meant to go forth and not really worry about that. Like, if there's a bad outcome, like, we just learn from that, we go on. He's happy to entrust these spiritual gifts to us, because who else does he have to give them to except flawed people? We're all flawed people, and we're the only people that he has down here to give spiritual gifts to. So if he wants there to be spiritual gifts among his people, he's going to have to give them to flawed people. He gave them to me. So we're the only people that he has to work with down here. We're the kingdom of God. So, and he takes delight in giving these gifts to people. So receive what he has to give to you, and then ask for more. And ask him to develop those. Ask him to build the community around us all so that it's safe to use our spiritual gifts and nobody's judged for a failure. Everybody's encouraged. It's like, oh, yeah, I did that very same thing. Yeah, and we just go on together and we get better. And we share with each other what we've learned from the same Lord. He wants to build us all up in unity. And part of spiritual gifts is that we would be a unified church. Another part of spiritual gifts is that when we minister to people who are outside the church, they see it coming out with power. They see God as supernatural, and it gives credibility to Jesus Christ because power is coming out of his people. So healing, people being raised from the dead, words of knowledge, like just suddenly knowing something about a situation or knowing something about somebody in their life, being able to say that to them, that like speaks, it cuts supernaturally cuts through the doubts that they have and ministers to them and breaks things open. Here's the craziest story of prophecy I have ever heard. The craziest story. There's this guy. I can't remember. It seems like the story was a room of about 100 people. This guy had a prophetic ministry, prophetic spiritual gift. He's talking to people in this room. And there's a guy in there whose heart is absolutely completely broken. Completely broken. And he's just not having any of this stuff. But this guy is going to want, he wants to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit to whoever comes. And he's just listening. And through years of practice, he's become extremely good at hearing what the Lord wants him to say to any individual. And this guy comes up defiantly. This guy, who had lost his wife, came up defiantly, said, "You don't have anything to say to me." And he got this message from the Lord. He said, "I want you to say this. I want you to whisper in his ear these words, and then I want you to stick your tongue in his ear." And he had enough confidence to say that he didn't know anything about the meaning of this. Comes up next to the guy, and he does that very thing, and the guy just falls on the floor, and he's bawling. He's bawling. Because those words were words that only his wife knew. And she would stick her tongue in his ear when she said them. Whatever that meant, like, that's all we know. And he was absolutely shattered, and he fell on his face because the Lord had spoken to him. He came up defiantly, and God could meet that resistance and completely overcome it like that. Well, I mean, it takes years listening to the Lord and surrendering to the Lord to be in a position where you can minister in that way. But that's the kind of power God can cut through. He can cut through anything in a heartbeat because his power is so great. The Holy Spirit can bring breakthrough to people's hearts like that, so fast, faster than 6-8 years on a therapist's couch, completely deliver you from stuff, completely deliver lost people from stuff. This guy was far from God, had his face in the fist of God. You can't reach me, God, is what he was saying. And that moment, seconds later, he was on his knees before Holy God. All right, so our challenge is, by all means, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is for you. It's for you, each of you, and it's for everyone. There aren't limitations put on any of this. Everybody can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Adopt the path of presence, which I talked about, that routine of starting with thanks and moving into praise so you can achieve and come into the presence of God where you'll have joy and you'll have strength. We need strength. Like this world will sap the strength out of us, and it'll do it over and over again. So we have to refresh ourselves at the well of his presence over and over again so that we have joy and strength. We have to return to his living water over and over again. Spiritual gifts are for you and for everyone. Spiritual gifts are for you, all of you, each of you, every one of you. You'll like yours, and you'll be glad about it. Come and receive blessing through prayer. Come and receive blessing through prayer. So today, how this works is in a minute, I'm going to pray and dismiss anybody who wants to leave. You can leave. It's fine. There's no compulsion. There's no coercion in the kingdom of God. It's always free. You're always free to come, which means you're free to go. So if you want to leave, you can leave. If you don't want to come up and receive any kind of ministry or prayer, but you're curious and you want to see, maybe you want to see if we do it respectfully. We do it personally, if it's individualized, if it's loving. Or you want to see if we're crazy and we're nutty here and it gets wild and stuff. But if you just want to observe, that's fine. You can come up, move up a few seats. If you want to just walk out at any time. So in the kingdom of God, there's no coercion. Nobody's under compulsion to do anything. So whatever you want to do, if you want to come and be ministered to, come. If you want to come up closer and just watch and maybe think about it and then decide, free to do that. If you want to hang back and watch, if you want to leave, if you want to go have yummy snacks in the foyer, you're free. You're all free. Holy Spirit is free. Lord, we thank you that you give us the water of life without cost. And the water of life is the precious presence of you yourself and your Holy Spirit who you've put inside us. So, Lord, we're just going for it this morning. We're going for you because you put these things out there. You want people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Well, somebody's got to lay hands on them. I'll just do that. The elders will do that. We'll do that. We're going to obey and just see where you go with all this. So pour out your Spirit with power this morning. Pour out your Spirit to fill us up. We need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with praise and with glory and with songs and hymns within our heart that just bubble up out of our mirth and our joy in knowing you. We need to be filled with power for ministry toward other people, inside and outside the church. We need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. We need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit, equipped with gifts. So disperse your gifts today. Distribute them as you see fit. And enliven us and invigorate us to the use of those gifts so that your name can be glorified and we can have reason to rejoice in you and have gladness in you. So this time, from the start to finish, it's all been yours. So come, Holy Spirit, and do what you want to do today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, you're free to go. You can have yummy snacks. You can stick around. And we'll be up here. Paul.